All right, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Luke 2:11, John 1:14 through 15. I entitled this A New Baby in the Neighborhood. Somebody suggested this morning that I should have made this A New Baby in the Hood. So you can change that in your bulletin if you'd like. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. Turn with me, if you will, to John, because we're going to look in Acts and also in Hebrews. But I want you to turn to John chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. John 1, 14 and 15. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him, and he cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" There's a company that you can look up on your iPads and your smartphones called the Single Product Company of Modern Nativity. Because of what I'm about to tell you, I did not ask Tom to put this on our screens. There were several guys who were slightly inebriated at a party and decided that they would create a politically correct nativity and sell it in our society. Now, they founded their company in 2016. Their product, their nativity, sells for $129.99. Mary and Joseph are shown in a solar-powered manger. Joseph is there with a shepherd's beard, a man bun. Mary is pictured with a peace sign in one hand and a cup of Starbucks in the other, and he's taking a selfie of the three of them. And then you'll see there's one lone shepherd. He's engrossed with his tablet and his earbuds while standing by a cow that has stamped on its side 100% organic. There are three wise men standing on segways holding Amazon boxes while each is decked out in hipster attire. Co-founder Casey Wright was interviewed on CNBC, and he was asked, "What kind of response are you getting to this product?" He said, "Well, there's no middle ground." He said, "Some people say, 'This is hilarious. I've got to have one of these nativities.' And then others are saying, 'This is sacrilegious. I hope you burn in hell.'" Wow. The reason why that manger scene is offensive to born-again believers is it's more concerned with the characteristics of our politically correct society than it is the importance of the Savior's birth. Christmas is secularized. Last year, 2016, I want you to know that we Americans spent $1 trillion on Christmas gifts. After Christmas, we return $70 billion worth of our Christmas gifts. Two women were in a restaurant. It was very expensive. One of the women said to the waitress, "We're celebrating the birth of my baby." The waitress looked around at this big group of women at this expensive restaurant and said, "Well, where's the baby?" And the mom said, "The baby? You think I'd ruin this party we're having by having my baby present?" Think about how many Christmas parties there are, and how many times the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ, is left out. You know, Christmas for me is not complete unless Diane Jones sings "O Holy Night." I was reading about that beautiful Christmas carol a few weeks ago. A French composer named A.C. Adams is the one who wrote it. And I want you to know, when it was published, that many of the religious leaders were very critical of "O Holy Night." And they said it did not have the spirit of religion at all. You listen to the first stanza of "O Holy Night," It causes us to imagine a world before the birth of Christ. Think about the words, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Well, we know what sin is. What in the world is pining? It's a world that's in despair, a world that is hopeless. It's a world of darkness. Then the next three words, till he appeared. The world was hopeless, helpless, dark, lost, till he appeared. And the baby changed everything. Christmas is the birth of a baby. Christ split B.C. and A.D. and provided hope for a lost world. So I want to share with you from Luke, John, and Hebrews a little bit about the baby in the hood. First of all, the announcement of his birth. I was introduced to the Message translation of the Bible last spring. Delaney and I were getting a Bible to the person I told you I was able to baptize in the Gulf while we were on vacation last year. She needed something she could understand. She had never been involved in church, been exposed to spiritual things. And so I said, we looked together and we decided, let's get the Message. Now listen to the Message translation of Luke 2:11. This act in Cana of Galilee was the first sign Jesus gave, the first glimpse of his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Think about this with me carefully. When we look in the Old Testament, we find one lineage after another. You go in the Old Testament, some of these books, so-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. But I want you to know when you turn to the New Testament, after the birth of Jesus, there are no births recorded. In fact, after the family lineage of Jesus in the Gospels, you'll never see another family tree or a lineage listed in the New Testament. We find that he is the Savior of the world. The baby has come, Christ the Lord. Now, where did this baby come from? Well, you know, he came from heaven. Now, I want you to go to John 1, 14 and 15 that I read for you just a few minutes ago, and let's look at the Message translation. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Now look at verse 15. John pointed him out and called, "This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me, has always had the first word." You know, every time a baby is born into our church family, that's exciting. When you're walking through the halls of Floyd Medical Center, you know when a baby's born because the intercom, they begin playing a little song. I was in the emergency room seeing one of our members who was critical and having to be put on life support the other day. And while I was in ER, all of a sudden, over the intercom, I heard that little jingle. And here's a life that's about to be ended on this earth, a person on the way to heaven. But while one child is born, another person is passing on. We ride through our neighborhood. We know when a new baby's been born, there's either balloons on the mailbox, pink or blue, or there's a wreath on the door. I love Christmas is just Christ moving into our neighborhood. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. So the infinite became an infant. You know, Jesus is God's way for the invisible to become visible, for the unreachable to become reachable, for the unknowable to become knowable, God with us. Now notice what John says. He says, we saw the glory. That word glory is one of the great words in the celebration of the arrival of Jesus. You just want to mark this down. Luke 1, 46 and 47. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord of my spirit, rejoices in God my Savior. Luke 2:13 and 14, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on his whom his favor rests." If you want to celebrate Christmas, that's what we're talking about, the celebration of a true Christmas from your head, from your heart, from your mouth. You ought to praise the glory of his majesty. Now, why did this child come to earth? Well, one word, just love. It's just God's unconditional love. God doesn't have love. God is love. God came in the form of a baby, so love came, the ultimate love, the perfect love, in the name of Jesus. Now, what did the baby came to do? The baby came to save us from our sins. Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost." We didn't have sense enough to seek him, so he came to seek us. Matthew 1:21. "She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So he was born to save us from our sins. Notice when Jesus came to the neighborhood, I want you to notice this, there's an absence of the celebration of the birth of Jesus in the first century church. Did you know the Bible does not record that the early church ever celebrated the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Think about that. The Bible doesn't record the early church celebrating the birth at all. The birth of Jesus is extremely important. Nothing wrong with celebrating the birth of Jesus. We ought to do that. But the birth of Jesus is interesting, is never celebrated by the first century church. You remember what Jesus did with the Lord's Supper? Now, the virgin birth is so vitally important to who he is. He's sinless. He's God in the flesh. But I want you to notice this. Remember, he was the one that inaugurated the Lord's Supper. He wanted us to remember his what? He shed his blood. He wants us to remember his death, his sacrifice for our sins. Boy, there are Christmas trees everywhere. I'll be honest with you, my favorite Christmas tree is live. Ours used to be spruce. Some of you got another name for that. It's all I knew from the time I could remember anything till I was a teenager. That's the only kind of tree my mom and dad had. They were messy, but the fragrance just permeated the whole house. You know what the first Christmas tree was? It was a tree upon which Jesus was nailed. The first Christmas tree was a bloody cross. It was that beautiful, terrible cross stained with the blood of Christ that bore the sins of the world. Have you ever been in the shopping mall this time of the year when the foundation seems to be doing this? You know, I kind of like the crowd watch, but when it starts doing this, I'm ready to get out of there. You know, I was in a building not too long ago with Delaney, and we were on the top floor. We were ocean front, and a storm came in with 70-mile-an-hour winds. And that whole upstairs was going back and forth. Now, Delaine said she was more spiritual than me. I sat up for about 3 or 4 hours thinking we were going to be blown away. She said, "I just turned it over to Jesus and went to sleep." I bet she borrowed one of my sleeping pills that night. But she said she's more spiritual than me. And listen carefully. When you look at what Jesus did, he came and took on flesh. That's just a miracle. An earthly mother and a heavenly father. No earthly father. That's just absolutely amazing. You know, there's a long line in the mall. Everybody was crammed in there trying to check out at customer service. And finally, one man screamed, said, "Whoever invented Christmas ought to be killed." And a spiritual lady shouted out, "He was, They hung him on a cross for our sins. Christmas separates Christianity from all other religions. Ladies and gentlemen, when I got married, I didn't get the marriage religion. I don't even know what that is. When I got married, I got Delane. When I got saved, I didn't get the Baptist religion. I got Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who saves. I love that old spiritual that we used to sing, "Sweet Little Jesus Boy, we didn't know who you was." Well, you better figure out who he was and who he is, because nobody else can save you but the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that old hymn that we used to sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, the sweetest name I know." That's the celebration of Christians. Now think about this. The early church didn't celebrate the birth of Christ, but notice the ascension and the anticipated return of Christ if you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Over in Hebrews chapter 1, we find that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for believers. He's interceding on our behalf. At God's side, as he's interceding for you and me, he is our advocate. But here's some amazing news. He's at the right hand of the Father, but in the Father's perfect timing, Jesus is coming back. And that is the completion of Christmas. In reality, there's only one Christmas. Now think about this. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to tell you now. Think about this. There's only one Christmas, and the rest of our celebrations are anniversaries of that birth. Think about this. There was just one birth, the birth of Christ, that changed the world. One hope. It's all in Christ. It happened that night in Bethlehem. All these years, what we've been doing is celebrating the anniversaries, but I want you to know the baby's coming back, and then Christmas is complete. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him before their sight, and they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This same Jesus is coming back. It's called the rapture. And I hope that's going to happen real soon. There was a pastor who was preparing his sermon on a Saturday night. Wow, I wouldn't sleep good at all if I'm almost finished with March. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm preaching 6 Christmas sermons this year. I'm preaching 4 on Sunday mornings in December and 2 on Wednesday nights. This Wednesday night will be the symbol surrounding the season. That makes me feel better. I'm at peace. This pastor was writing his sermon on a Saturday night, and it was near Christmas. Now I want you to know what happened to him while he was studying. He fell asleep. Some of you are sleeping now. Oftentimes we fall asleep while we're preparing these things. He said he dreamed that as he walked down the street in his neighborhood, there were no Christmas trees and no wreaths this Christmas season. As he walked further down the street, the church building was missing. He said he walked further down the street and there was a man there in the snow who was injured, and he said, "I picked him up into my arms, carried him to the nearest hospital, and the hospital was missing." He said, "Then a little girl came to me and said, 'Pastor, my dad's dying. Will you come to my house?'" So he said, "I took my Bible," and he said, "I went to the house," and he said, the little girl said, "I'm not sure my dad's saved." So he opened his Bible, and there was no John 3:16. Actually, he said in his dream, after the book of Malachi, all of his pages were blank. The man died, and this pastor was asked to come and preach the funeral. And when he went to the graveside, he took his Bible with him, as pastors often do. And he said, I wanted to read that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. But he said, those pages were blank. If Jesus had not come, there would be no hope, no help, and no healing. Think about this. Because Jesus came, he changes our lives from inside out, and he makes us his forever children. Patterson Middle School, Killeen, Texas, last year, 2016. Patterson Middle School has an assistant to the school nurse. She was at home one night right before Christmas, and she decided to draw on a poster, make a homemade poster about Christmas and post it in the halls at the school. And here's what she did. She took the Peanuts character Linus. She drew Linus on the poster, and here's what Linus is saying. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Close quote. She put that on the hall wall of the school, 1st of December. It was up for 2 days, and the principal came to her and said, take that poster down. That will be offensive to some students and faculty in our school. Well, I want you to know this nursing assistant, she didn't take that lying down. She took this to, listen, this is Texas, folks. She took this to the state attorney general, Ken Paxton, and he fought to have the poster reinstated and put on the walls. Here's what he said. He noted the freedom to incorporate some religious terminology and cited frustration with political correctness. Paxton promised this, the state attorney general, I'll fight against any frivolous litigation that might result. Judge Jack Jones in Texas sided with the nursing assistant, and the poster was ordered back on the walls of the school the day before Christmas break. Now, that story is nothing new. There are dozens and dozens like that every year, but that's just the point. We've tried to make Christmas unoffensive to people, but Christmas is unavoidable. The reality that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life will always, always, always be offensive to those who reject it. Just mark it down. I'm sure when people were on the Titanic, remember what was said about the Titanic when it was built? Absolutely unsinkable. When that ship set sail loaded with passengers, and people paid premium prices for that voyage, I imagine some people were offended when somebody shouted out, the ship is sinking, the ship is sinking. Some people were offended by that. And others took heed to the warning and jumped in lifeboats and lived to tell the story. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus didn't just come to our neighborhood. He came to take up residence in our heart. And he comes when you invite him to be Savior and Lord of your life. Is Jesus in your hood? More importantly, is he in your heart? Will you stand right where your head's about, eyes closed?